Just how far-reaching is God's grace? We'll find out today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.
God's commitment to Abraham is the same commitment that he had to Isaac and to Jacob and to 1,000 generations. We'll look at this. All the way extending to you today, because the Lord had promised to Abraham, in you, Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed.
You know, I can't help but think that the name of our program is a spin off of what we're going to learn today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Welcome to the program. We're in Genesis today, looking at chapter 26. 1,000 generations, that is how long-lasting and how faithful our God is, no matter how faithless we find ourselves. With more, here's Pastor Chris on today's program.
Now, there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "My wife," thinking lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance. When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say she is my sister?" Isaac said to him, "Because I thought lest I die because of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you've done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the names that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." From there he went to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. When Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his advisor, and Pichol, the commander of his army, Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you?" They said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you." So we said, "Let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. In the morning they rose early and exchanged oaths, and Isaac sent them on their way, and they departed from him in peace. That same day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well that they had dug, and said to him, "We have found water." He called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. I think one of the most shocking things about having children has been how many of my own weaknesses I have seen in these little guys. I'll never forget the first time I brought Kendall home and I set her on the changing table and she threw a temper tantrum and I thought she was going to die. And I remember going to Darcy, "What is wrong? Two-day-old babies are not to act like that." And she says, "You act like that all the time." I have raised them and I realize more and more what the mercy of the Lord is. It's an amazing thing. Why it's so needed, and it's taught me patience and forbearance in raising children. Because ultimately what I've learned raising children is that they show me a lot what I'm like to the Lord. That's one of the things that I realize. They show me a lot of what I treat the Lord like. All the frustrations that I have, right? Even though you can't measure it the same way. Do you ever think about your children when you're dead and gone, what they will be like and what they will do with their lives and the kind of concerns that we have? Will they turn away? Will they do the same stupid things that you know we have done? You have all these kinds of questions. And this morning is fascinating. It's a fascinating section of Scripture because what it essentially is a rerun of the life of Abraham and Isaac. Rerun, and I mean that. The same old stuff. And you'd say, "Well, this is deja vu all over again." I think it was Yogi Berra said that. This is such an important message for us. What is God showing us in another rerun of this? Well, right at the beginning of chapter 26, we have the Lord restating his promise that he had made to Abraham, now to Isaac. And it's a glorious moment because it really is in the book of Genesis, God showing us, and this is the point of the passage this morning, God showing us that whatever he had given to Abraham, he is now taking that and giving it to the next generation, just as he had promised, just as he had said. Every bit of the blessing that Abraham enjoyed, the next generation enjoyed. And that God's commitment to Abraham is the same commitment that he had to Isaac and to Jacob and to 1,000 generations. We'll look at this. All the way extending to you today, because the Lord had promised to Abraham, "In you, Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And this is really exciting because as one generation comes and one generation goes, we often wonder, what is the Lord like to the next generation? What is the Lord? This is a very generational book. It's having us think about these things. And the basic message that is so beautiful in Genesis chapter 26 is God's message that he is committed to the next generation. That no matter how bad it looks or how bad it gets, he's not giving up on the next generation. And that everything he promised, he will extend until that day comes when the last of the elect come in. God comes to him in verse 2, to Isaac. The Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you." Listen to this language. "For to you and your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Here's what moves me. When God said that originally, when he made all those same promises back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, what overwhelmed you about that? Do you remember when we started that sermon? I remember saying there were all these blessings that God unilaterally, unconditionally, meaning that Abraham would not fulfill these himself. We'll come back to that. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will," he said in Genesis 12, "make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And those who dishonor you, I will dishonor. And in you, Abraham, this is the fact. All the families of the earth will be blessed. All these seven promises God spoke before the life of Abraham had even really gotten off the ground. God spoke as if it was done. Here's what I'm doing. And this is why you're going. And this is what I'm going to fulfill. My benediction and my love comes down to this. I've decided to do this for you. I am blessing you, Abraham. I am blessing you. And then we studied a lot of failures. Now, isn't it amazing that God said those things before? Well, Lord, what if I throw away my wife? What if I try to do this myself? What if I royally mess up? What if I wreck my life in many ways? Nothing changed it. And we studied everything that the Lord had done for him so that at the very end of his life, what was one of the last things that God said about Abraham? God blessed him in chapter 24 in everything. God blessed him in everything. His life ended with mammoth blessing. Abraham's dead and gone. What was Abraham's great concern? Well, you saw it when he took everything that he had and he heaped it upon Isaac. He sent all his other sons away because he knew that this was God's chosen son. And we open up Genesis 26, and what we have is one great chapter. We're not getting the whole repeat. We get a summary chapter on the life of Isaac. And what moves you about it? Well, verse 2 says, God graciously condescends and makes the same promises. And then verse 3, dwell in this land, I will be with you, and bless you, for to you and your descendants, I give all of these lands. I will perform the oath. Now, think of what he's saying to Isaac now. Right at the start, before any of the rehearsing of his life, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to my promises to your father. I will provide. I have a heavenly inheritance set apart for you, Isaac. It's the greatest fulfillment for you. I've determined to bless you. So what does this all hinge upon? What the Lord said he would do. He mentions Genesis 15. You remember in Genesis 15, when Abraham was sleeping, the covenant was cut, and the Lord passed alone through those pieces to cut the covenant. Abraham had no fulfilling of that. God took everything upon him that would need to be fulfilled to give this kind of life to Abraham and to you. That was the message. Well, what do we have here? What is Genesis chapter 26 then? Isn't it something that we have this entire rerun now that plays out? It's striking. The question then could be asked, well, is Isaac going to wreck this? Could Isaac wreck this? Let's see. In verse 1, a test now comes. Now, there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. So here we have it all replaying again. A famine comes. Here these guys are pilgrims. They're following, and they're hit with famines. And we study that. We studied that it's never an easy walk. It's never an easy calling. But notice here that this is a testing from the Lord. And just so that we don't think this is fabricated or some, you know, some kind of fabricated myth, the Lord makes it very clear. This was another real famine. It was an additional famine. It was not the same story. This is not the same story. It's an additional famine than the one that Abraham experienced. And the Lord mentions that to connect the two so that we see this. God is testing the next generation. And we looked at that last week. The importance of God remaining committed to bring the next generation to a place of faith. Isaac goes to Abimelech. Now, years ago, when Abraham was tested, he ran down into Egypt. It was a bad deal. That did not go well. He packed up his wife, and it was a real mess. You remember that. And it ended up in an awful thing. Well, here we are. God has sent the same test upon his son. And now God specifically commands Isaac. God appears to Isaac and specifically commands him. And the Lord says to him, I don't want you going to Egypt. You stay in this land. This is the land I'm giving you. Now, we initially look at this and we say, well, Isaac kind of outshines here for a moment, Abraham. He doesn't go. This is great. All until verse 6. And the men of that place asked about his wife. And he said, she is my sister, for he was afraid to say she is my wife, because he thought lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she's so beautiful to behold. You've got to be kidding me at this point. Do you remember how destructive this sin was? This little sin, this little white lie. You remember how destructive this was? What was behind that little white lie? Well, for a great father Abraham, Abraham ended up with this little lie outside of the land, throwing away the seed. He threw away God's promises. He had wrecked it with this lie. You know, one would think Abraham would have sat down with Isaac and said, you know, son, you really need to understand something. I had this particular sin in my life. And I had this particular sin of everywhere we went, we lied about your mom. And every time it didn't go well. And a word to the wise son, you might not want to try that one. That one created a nightmare for me. Now, when we first encountered Abraham, it was kind of, we thought, maybe a little bit funny. He's lying about his wife, lying about his wife. You know. Would we do any different? You know, you got a beautiful knockout bride and all the men are looking at her. I don't want to get taken out for it. Just a little white lie. In the case of both Abraham and Isaac, what was the reason behind it? Fear. What was the fear? That they were going to lose their lives. That was the fear. Now, any inquisitive reader of the Bible is going to, at this point, say, well, wait, Jesus had a little bit to say about that. Jesus had a lot to say about that. Jesus did not speak encouraging about that. Jesus said, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So in other words, if you want to be James 5, and you want to run around trying to hold on to your life, and you want to lie and do these things, and you don't want to surrender, you're going to lose your life. But anyone who willingly lays down his life for my sake and follows me, well, that person will save it. And at some point, that's a little bit distressing, isn't it? Because these are very easy, common sins that are being shown to us in Genesis. Common sense that we do every day to hold on to our lives. Now, here's the thing. Isaac's heading right back into the same sin of Abraham. It's the same sin, and it was the same lack of trust. So it's not just about a little white lie with his wife. This is a constant quest that we're on to hold tight to this life. That's the reality. We hold tight here, and we evade the calling to follow as we should. I mean, I get so tired of looking at all this, the health stuff today. Even Suzanne Summers, she drives me nuts. Telling everyone how to, and I mean it, save your life, I quote. Save your life. I just don't convince myself. I know you can take care of yourself and maybe have a good quality of life. I'm not going to convince myself that if I go run and do all these things and put on the jogging shorts and do all that all the time, I'm going to extend my life. I'm just not going to convince myself of that. I can be responsible. But you see what can happen with all that? Holding tight, holding tight. Some guy at the gym the other day told me we need to reclaim the economy for Jesus. And I said, what does that mean? I don't understand that. We're all worried about 401ks and retirement and all this stuff. God is telling us something here. Learn from the fathers. You have gone before me. Listen, look at what he did for them. Don't fear. Stay with me. Here's Isaac in the same situation. There's nothing new. And the Lord says to you today, your test is nothing unique in the history of dealing with my people. Your test is not unique. Your trial is not unique. It's not something that's never been seen in the history of the world. Your test is just like their tests. And God is telling you something this morning. The Lord wants you to know, I'm faithful and I am testing you so that you would learn to trust me in every single circumstance. That's what I want from you. Haven't you seen this repeatedly? Every single one. Now, why does God do this? Here's what mind boggles. I'm mind boggled about the text. All I see in this text is relentless grace. We find showering down a blessing on this man. Mercy to the next generation. Blessing, mercy, mercy, blessing, grace. Look at verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. Can you imagine if you did that in the stock market in 1 year? Verse 13. And the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had, verse 14, possessions and flocks and herds and many servants. And then you have a picture of him being given a place in the land. These wells were all stopped up, and he was having conflict with the Philistines until he comes to Rehoboth, which means spaciousness. Now, what does Isaac say? Verse 22, for now the Lord has made room for me, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And by the time this is all said and done, the king comes out and wants a blessing from Isaac, telling us that, foreshadowing and giving us an initial kind of picture of nations coming to the son and giving blessing. And it's an amazing account. It's overwhelming. The same thing that happened to Abraham is now happening to Isaac. And the scene ends in Beersheba. And if you remember Beersheba, this is where Abraham dwelled. God brought him full circle all the way back to the place where Abraham dwelled, and there would have been the tamarisk tree, and there would have been the running water that Abraham enjoyed, and Isaac is there worshiping the Lord. What a beautiful scene.
Today's message is simply entitled, To a Thousand Generations, found out of Genesis chapter 26, a marvelous look at God's faithfulness on down generation after generation after generation. We'll be back with Pastor Chris in just a moment with a look ahead to tomorrow's program. You're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, I'd remind you that you can contact us at agradio.org. Also find other platforms there as well. Nice little jump-offs to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Again, available at agradio.org. You'll be able to tap into previous programs as well as find out where AG Radio is playing in your neck of the woods. Again, agradio.org. Or if you wish, use the phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. By the way, if you find the broadcast helpful, encouraging you in the Lord, maybe there's something that Pastor Chris has said today that really stuck in your mind, something that, like most of us, you'll actually use with somebody else in a day or two. We would love to hear from you. If you feel that this program is helpful to you, we would ask you to redirect some of your financial resources to fund Abounding Grace, as this is a listener-supported ministry, which means we're on this specific radio station simply because you've come alongside of us financially and, even more importantly, prayerfully, to make sure that this radio program continues right here on this station at this time. So consider that as you get a hold of us, again at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. And bear in mind that any financial resource you send our way is tax deductible. Well, let's catch up with Pastor Chris once again as we look forward to tomorrow's broadcast.
There's always been only one through whom all that you get to enjoy comes. And that's why 2 Corinthians says, this is the reason you get this kind of life. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the reason, because of, Paul says, Jesus' sake. He fulfilled it for you. And when you read, Isaac, don't go down to Egypt. I'm going to show mercy. I'm committed to you. I will bless you. I'm going to fulfill the oath that in you all the nations would be blessed. I'm doing this for Abraham's sake because I made the promise to him that the seed would come from him who is Jesus. Abraham looked for him. That secures for you everything. Everything.
And that is tomorrow on Abounding Grace. Join us then with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondido.org. URC.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.